Well, you, I guess, already heard that, like, Tim and Matthew are at the HYC getting things ready for the camp. Is that right? But, you know, when you have this kind of singing, who needs Tim? Who needs Matthew? Heck, who needs Jeff? I'll tell you who we do, okay? We need all of them. I got you on that one, right? Yeah. You guys are already texting him. Go ahead, man. Tell him that we love Jesus. But you know, this first service, you may have heard, there was a couple baptized. Charlie and Lexi, just great young couple of children. It was great. Families on both sides were there. Just a fabulous time of, you know, giving God glory. And as you may have already heard from Jeff, that Jeff Mantle's in Chicago marrying off his brother there. The other guys are also gone. It was a little thin, but hey, I think we are sounding awesome this morning. You guys are doing great, and I'm excited to be here to be able to share some things that are on my heart this morning. I pretty much just want to talk a little bit about Jesus. You all know Jesus? You know, there's a lot of different Jesuses you see out there. You ever notice that? Like on the internet and different kind of pictures of him that are kind of weird. Because with the graphics and everything now, they can do some crazy things. And I go, wow, that's pretty disrespectful. But, you know, you don't mock God anyway. But we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to talk about Jesus, but we're going to really listen to Jesus. And I want to, for a moment here, just have you think about you being there. And this is what they call the Sermon on the Mount. And essentially, Jesus over here in near the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee was kind of like this body of water with mountain terrain around it. And so it was like a bowl shape of some sorts in that area. And so, you know, when the speaker would speak, I mean, you know, his voice could carry because of the winds that would run through there. In that area. So we'll pick it up here in verse 1. And we read, it says, "Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them." So he goes up and sits down, which was really the normal role of a rabbi. Usually they sat down when they taught. Instructed, and which was pretty cool. And what you have here is Jesus sitting down there with his disciples, and you know, some others that might have been there. Not everybody necessarily went up to hear him. Some were just kind of hanging down there, just waiting maybe for some little food later, you know, maybe fix that arm that's not working so well, things like that. And you know, I guess we could just start by saying, you know, why do we come to church? You know, are we here to learn about Jesus, about his teachings, putting them into practice? Are we being a learner each and every day? Or are we more, you know, just looking for the good things that maybe a church can offer? You know, sometimes we'll have a potluck dinner or some other thing here or there. Or, you know, there could be, you know, you've got some friends that you wanted to maybe haven't seen in a while, so you say, hey, I want to go see them. And things like that. And, you know, that's not bad. But really, the reason we should be here would be primarily to worship God and to see what Jesus wants to talk to us about. Amen? So here we are on the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is sat down. And we are now going to listen a little bit to what he's got to say. Now, he begins with the Beatitudes. And most of us know those. Or have heard of them, you know, the Beatitudes. It's like, these are the attitudes you should be, etc. Okay, well, this is very parallel, this whole Sermon on the Mount, to the Ten Commandments. Because the first three really focus a lot on how to love God. You know, and he goes into different things here, poor in spirit, so on and so forth. I'm not going to focus too much on that today. But obviously the most important thing is to love God with all of our hearts and to love him first. Amen? But then he goes on and he talks a little bit, and he's talking to a Jewish audience here. And in verse 13 he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." And he goes on, he says, "You are the light of the world." So he gives a second metaphor here. But, you know, the point that he's making is that we are the salt of the earth. And you say, well, okay, have you ever thought about that passage? You go, what, are we season everything? Or what? Have you thought about that? Studied it? Well, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there was a fellow by the name of Abimelech in Judges, and he destroyed this town. And after he destroyed this town, Shechem, he basically poured salt all over it to restrain anything from growing. So part of our role is to restrain worldliness. Okay? The second one you'll find in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, where Elisha said, bring me a new jar and put salt in it. So they brought it to him. He went out to the spring of water and threw salt in it and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have purified these waters. There shall not be from their death or unfruitfulness any longer." And so the second part is, not only are we to restrain the world, but we need to purify the world through our lives. In other words, by learning about God, learning about His Word, it's our job to try to help others get purified. Okay? And let me give you an example of this. I have a little distiller. It's a little kettle, a gallon-sized kettle at home to distill water. It's water we're talking about, okay? And see, that shows where some of your hearts are right there. And that's what I want to talk about right now. All right, anyway, I got this distiller, okay? And it takes 4 hours to distill water, a gallon of water in it. And, you know, you pour the water from the tap, and then you put it in there, and then you put it in a little decanter thing. And so you look at the kettle, and after a couple of gallons of what you do, there's a lot of weird stuff in there, okay? Like, some of it's kind of scummy almost, white scummy stuff. And then some other stuff's kind of brown and rough to, you know, when you touch it, it's pretty rough, scaly. Okay? So something's wrong with that tap water, because the distilled water is supposed to be pure. Well, that's kind of what's wrong with the world. Okay? They're just tapping into everything. What we need to do is purify it. That's through the Word of God. Amen? And so this is what Jesus is telling us. So he first of all kind of just builds them up here and says, guys, you're the answer. I'm giving you the answer. Through me, you can do all kinds of great things. And also part of that is, you know, we have the Hope Worldwide program that we're associated with here that the Catalanados are now leading. And, you know, we do some great things with that too. We feed the hungry. We have a pantry. We have other things, a food pantry. We have other things we have throughout the year to help serve those in need on a lot of different levels. We also have a benevolence thing where we assist. If there's a situation we look at and somebody's needing some assistance because of a difficult time. All those are good things, okay? So what I want to do right now is we're just going to watch a little video where we actually see Jesus talking here about some of this stuff going here, Sermon on the Mount. Notice the when you do watch it, it's a short video, but you'll see like the lake in the background, kind of the surroundings there. So you want to run the first one?
"Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth."
What think ye?
He is guilty of death.
Death! Yeah.
"But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee turn thou not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
That was Jesus talking to us. It's powerful. And when you think about it, what's he calling us to do? To be perfect. Okay. Everybody got that? We just got to be perfect. That's not so hard, is it? That's pretty hard. But that's what he calls us to do. And as he said, he came here to fulfill the law. And prophetically, you know, Jesus was foretold as a seed of a woman, you know, born to a virgin in the lineage of Adam through Seth. He's the Messiah, the King of the Jews, the root of David, the branch of Jesse. And now here he is in his public ministry. And so he's fulfilling the Old Testament law. Then he goes on as we're looking at this, and he starts talking about the last five commandments of the Ten Commandments. And we're going to pick it up here in verse 21. He says, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Now, how seriously do we really consider that? Because the Pharisees kind of had this all down. They thought, well, hey, if you don't murder, you know, literally kill someone, but you still hate others, or, you know, you don't love other people, you just like, you're angry and you can't forgive them. What's the difference? I didn't shoot him. I didn't kill him, right? That's not right. That's not what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, you shouldn't stay angry. Okay? Because that's being as unrighteous as murdering. Now think about that a moment. And if someone has something against you, it's your obligation to go get reconciled. Go fix it. Go make friends with your opponents or with somebody you have a problem with. Go make friends with them. Work it out. A lot of times we go, you know, they did this to me or they did that to me. And you go, you know, what can I do? God will take care of them. I'll pray that God will punish them. You know, things of that nature. Instead of, hey, let's be forgiving. Let's not be angry. That's what he's calling us to do here. Do not murder. Do not get angry. Now, there is righteous indignation. I think all of us are capable of that. That's a good thing. But when it turns into sinful anger, not a good thing. And, you know, there's a couple of things I think about this. Has anybody here ever had like a bad hamburger? You know, where you ordered it and you're like, can't wait. It's like a half pound or something, maybe a quarter pound or less for those of you that are, you know, but, okay. So you got that, you know, and you're ready to sink your teeth into it and it's like, take that first bite and you're chewing, you go, this thing tastes awful. You know, and you kind of get mad. You get angry. You maybe get angry at the server, at the menu, or the guy that cooked it, or who, you know, you get mad. You go, how could I blow this much money on what I was really looking forward to? So what do? You don't eat it. You take it home, or you know, but picture this for just a moment. Where am I going with this? All right. Think about this. You haven't forgiven somebody, right? You're angry. That's kind of like the hamburger. Okay, you're mad at it. So what do? Well, you kind of keep it, though. Maybe you took it home, or maybe you stick it in your pocket. Say, well, maybe it'll taste better. I'll eat it later. You know, or maybe if I see that guy later, maybe it'll get better. Maybe. Maybe not. But we'll see. So it sits there 2 days, 4 days. All right, let's stop at 10 days. Because some of us hold anger a whole lot longer than 10 days. All right, how about 3 months? It's still in your pocket. You want to eat that thing now? That's what we do to our hearts. When we're holding unforgiven, you know, feelings because someone's hurt us, man, it, you know, our hearts literally, they're kind of rotting. And you've been around that kind of stuff, it doesn't smell good. You don't smell good. I don't smell good when that happens. Deodorant isn't going to help. It's not. It's in our hearts. And then you can't really be what? The salt of the earth. You can't be the light of the world. Because you're all caught up with all my little problem. Well, if you have faith, if you go to God, God can heal that. Amen? And this past week, a brother and I went to talk to another brother who had been just really struggling with things. And we talked. We talked for a long time, nearly 2 hours. And I listened. And he talked. And I listened. And he talked. And the other brother listened. And he kept talking. And he talked and talked. And you know what? That's what he needed. He needed to get things out. And I'm not a great listener. My wife will tell you that. But I did sit and listen. I was patient and amen. You know, God was able to use myself and the other brother to help him. And you know, I got a text from that brother, I think it was the next day, telling me, thank you so much for listening. Who knows where things are going to go, but we can only do our part. But you know, we were forgiving. There were apologies made. They weren't necessarily directly about me, but situations. And, you know, maybe that all helps. I don't know. But the point is we've got to kind of get rid of the hamburger. Okay? It's time to try something else to eat, if you will. Or it's time to really start being the salt of the earth, the light of the world. How? By doing things that are right and not just kind of hiding the things that we don't want to get rid of. You know, there was another thing he talks about in verse 27. Let's go there. It says, you have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. Yep, that's right, Jesus. And haven't done that. I'm pretty good, huh? Well, verse 28, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery. So I guess you did commit adultery with her in your heart. Okay, now think about that. And I'm talking to the guys here. I'm also talking to the women. But I'm talking to the guys because this is a huge struggle in all kinds of areas. Okay, on the computer. Man, you got liberties like you've never had, but with liberties come problems. Pornography, all that garbage that's out there. Okay? If you're married, you're doing it. It's killing your wife. You don't even realize. It's killing her. She doesn't even have to know it, and it's killing her. But you need to come clean. You need to take that computer and trash it. Or, really, you need to clean out your mind. But you got to take measures to fix these issues. Okay, and it's not just that. It could be a work situation. It could even be somebody here in church. There's all kinds of ways that Satan will get in there. And we've got to be up on what's going on there. Okay, there's so many things that will happen if we're not careful. You know, he says, well, let's read that again. He says right here, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Then he says, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, throw it away. You know, if it's causing me problems, man, maybe it's time to take that hand off. I'm not talking about the quarterback hand off. I'm talking about take your hand off. Maybe two of them. You know, I don't know. And I know I've sinned in this area. You know, maybe the bright side at that point is, well, you don't have to wash your hands anymore. Maybe. But truthfully, think about that. You got to deal with it. You have to deal with sins in your heart. Whether it's anger issues, unforgiving issues, or could be the lust of the eye on others. This is a big thing. And this is something that Jesus, you know, he wasn't playing when he talked about this. Okay? Of course, the Pharisees, they just thought, well, you know, if you don't commit it, it's okay. And even think about with the lady that was caught in adultery. These guys, I mean, they almost couldn't wait. We're going to stone her to death because she's so wicked. I mean, is that really the right attitude? I mean, really? You know, and the answer that Jesus gave was very wise. You know, he didn't condemn her. But we have to have the kind of heart that says, hey, I'm going to do what's right because Jesus says this is what we need to do. Amen? And he goes on, he talks about divorce. God hates divorce. We as sinful people, I mean, things happen to us. You know, circumstances, we can't control everything. And I'm not down on someone who has been, but God hates that. And we should make every effort, if we're married, to make that marriage last, as you vowed, till death do you part. That's the way it needs to be. If you say, well, I just don't love him so much anymore. Okay, get on your knees and cry out to God. God will increase your love. Do it a lot. Even if you have a great marriage or a good marriage or however you rate your marriage, get on your knees and ask God to have you love your spouse more. It eliminates a lot of problems. Does that make sense? Anger issues, things like that. Just get on your knees, man. Go to God. Talk with someone. Talk with a friend. Confess these things. Get open. And if someone comes to you, be understanding. Be compassionate. Don't do the, how dare you, you know, how could you? Well, let's be understanding. Really? I didn't know that could happen. Well, let's be wise. Lots of things can happen. We're human. Okay, a lot of things happen. So think about that. Take the time to go to God and to change those things that need to change in your heart. Okay? Verse 33 talks here a little bit about what we should say or not say. It says, you've heard it, that it was said to the people long ago. So he's quoting scripture. Do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. And you know, sometimes, and you may have heard this, where people will say, well, like, hey, that's all I pay for. I swear, you know. Or, you know, even, I swear to God. Why? It's not what this teaches. Just let your yes be yes, your no be no. Even sometimes when we use God's name, if you're not praying to Him or, you know, talking about Him in a good way, sometimes we use Him just as expressions. Oh my God! Did you see that? You know, you're talking about a football game or something. You're not talking to God. Why are you calling out to Him that way? Or, oh Lord. Are you really asking for Lord here? Or are you just, you know, come up with other words. Be respectful of God. Might sound trivial. I'm telling you, it's not. We're supposed to purify the world. You know, things that come out of our mouth. Or just bad language. I'm not saying bad grammar. I mean bad language, like inappropriate stuff. There's a lot of words that, should we really say that word? Or you'll say it and not think anything of it. Like, hey, that's the normal thing. There's a lot of bad words, if you will, to describe parts of our bodies. Okay? I mean, just, there are. And we use them to call people names with them and things like that. Okay, that's kind of like murder there, right? You know, anger and all that. And so think about that, though. We got to purify. And again, what should we do? I think we need to go to God. We need to get on our knees. We need to make changes. If we are, in fact, the salt of the earth, if we are the light of the world, and the world needs us, amen? But if we're all caught up with this stuff, you know, nasty hamburgers and all that stuff, how are we ever going to help other people if we're all just caught up with a bad burger? Okay? Think about this, because this is what Jesus was saying. He said, hey, let's talk. These are the commandments. And the Pharisees had a way of, you know, just doing all these things and giving excuses for it. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, verse 38. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. You know, and I think about this, and I think, you know, you do have to have laws in the land, absolutely. There has to be, you know, for a society. But on an individual basis, you know, Jesus, what did he say? He says, he prefers mercy over judgment. Or sacrifice. Yeah, sacrifice. Judgment, sacrifice, you know, meaning that he wants us to be compassionate, understanding, forgiving. And we all need that. I mean, we need it from others and we need to give it. And doesn't it feel great? Tell me if you've ever had this happen, but doesn't it feel great when you go to somebody and go, hey, I'm sorry for what I said to you. And they say, I forgive you. You know, I understand. Versus, and I've done this. I've done this with my kids. You should apologize. Like, who are you? Well, I'm their parent. Okay, but besides, you know, why am I not a little more that way? That just happened the other day. I'm like, oh, you know, but we should be that way. He wants us to be compassionate, not, you know, pay back evil for evil. In verse 43, just making sense? In verse 43, you have heard that it was said, you know, Jesus, I say, hey, you've heard these things, you know, because that's what these leaders would preach, all this kind of stuff. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And we've talked a little bit about that. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. You know, he's saying that we need to pray, certainly for those we love, but for those that maybe they're not our best friends. Maybe they have wronged us. It could be family members. Because everybody's different. Everybody's had different parents. You know? We all talk about we're all alike. Yeah, we're all, you know, sinners and so forth. But we're all pretty different. You didn't have same folks, same parents that I've had. Your mom might have been more this way. Your dad less that way. And you didn't have a dad that was present. So we all have different things and different hurts and pains. We got to think about those things. Okay? Not everybody's just wide open, hey, I just want to love y'all. I just love everybody. You know, it's not really always that way, is it? And you watch some funny movies or something like, but there's hurts. There's all kinds of hurts that we have faced. And so a lot of times we're unwilling to put it out there a little bit because we've been hurt. Okay, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the fire thing where you put it over the, oh, you know, nobody wants to get burned. We've all been around a while. You've been burned. Emotionally, relationally. Yes?
Amen.
And guess what? It's going to happen again. But let's have a better approach to it. Let's do the Jesus way here. Okay? And not the religious, churchy sort of way. You know. I mean, I think even just in our own church, I mean, sometimes we won't sit with people, you know, because you get close to them because, you know, you got that thing going on there you're a little upset about. Come on. You know, it's like, let's go to God on these things. Amen?
Amen.
And then he goes on and talks about, after that, giving to the needy, giving to the poor, You know, it says the Pharisees, they gave to the poor, but did it to be seen by them. It says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. You know, and it's good that you're helping people, but he's saying, you know, kind of do it privately. Okay? It says, your right hand shouldn't even know what your left hand is doing. He says, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, do we do it just to seek the reward? I don't think that should be our first motive. But he says, hey, he'll reward you. But do it God's way. We do need to be givers. We do need to help people that are in need. But let's do it more of a godly way in doing that. And then even with prayer, when he goes on here and talks about it, it says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. And I'd like for you to go ahead and run this second video at this time.
That you do not do your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Boy, it puts you in a pretty peaceful mood, doesn't it? When you watch that, and you see Jesus here in the prayer that, I guess, has everybody heard the Our Father at some point? It's right here in the Bible. But he goes on, there's parts there that he talks about. He says, you're speaking to God Almighty, the creator of the entire universe. So we should be reverent with him. Okay? He's also going to judge the world. You know, the righteous and the evil. And then we ask God to provide for our daily needs. Give us our daily bread, etc. And then, what else are we supposed to do? There it comes up again. What is it? Forgive. Gosh, it's like a lot of places, isn't it? You know, we talk about money. They talk about money all the time. They talk about this a lot. I mean, Jesus talks about this a lot too. You'll see this a lot in the Bible. The importance of forgiving. He says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. That's interesting. He's asking to be forgiven after you've already forgiven those who've, you know, wronged you. You see that? And then, of course, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And that's important that you pray to avoid those kinds of things. You know, just to avoid things that are going to pull you down. But instead, you should be praying to be the salt. You know, to be the light. And as you do those things, God will be using you to help others. You know, and one other comment, and this is just for instructional purposes. But when we do pray, or if it's a public prayer, even if you're praying privately, probably not a good thing to say, you know, God every other word, or Lord every other word. And I'm not being silly about this. It's really important. You know, if you're talking to somebody, you know, John, I got to tell you, I saw that game the other day, John, and the Cardinals really played well, John. Let me tell you, John, what's his name? He hit a shot. John, you should have been there, John. I'm telling you, John, he'd be like, dude, I got it. You know my name. Okay? We got to kind of think about that with God. And I'm not being silly. It's just the maturity that we need to have. Does this make sense?
Yes.
It's really important as you grow that, you know, because, you know, maybe as a baby, you know, mama, mama, you know, they say it all day long, right? And you're tickled to death because they're a little baby. Okay, we're growing up. And it's really important. So not to be super repetitive about things. I think God gets it. Like, he's pretty smart. Okay, like, he's way beyond that. Okay, anyway. Does that make sense? So, what I want to do, we're going to wrap up here. I mean, we can go on, but I'm going to encourage everybody to read through these three chapters. This is like foundational, let's do things the right way. And I want to encourage everybody. I mean, it even goes on to treasures on earth, treasures in heaven. You know, where are you spending your time, your money? What are you devoting yourself to? And get in there and search this out. And not only that, pray about it. You know, reflect on it. Ask God to show you. I mean, some of us have heard lots of messages. I hope you're not just sitting there going, here we go, another one. I really want you to. Man, I want to see us all get to heaven. This isn't just Sunday morning preach time. I want to see us all get to heaven. And later on it talks about the narrow and the wide gate. And it's not like everybody who sits in a pew or in a chair is going to make it. I want to be there. I want you to be there. Let's help each other get there, but let's talk with a friend, confess our sins to one another. Let's be diligent about these things so that we can be, in fact, the light of the world. Okay, as Jesus calls us to be. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your word, for Jesus, and just his goodness and how appropriate he was about everything, how he knew what to say and when to say it in the right tone. Father, I thank you for each and everyone here. I pray that each of us will make every effort to please you and to live for you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.